The Old Testament, Book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 to 21. Verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Verse 19, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to the chosen people. Verse 21, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 5, verse 36 to 39. Let us stand for the gospel. Together we say,
Glory to Christ, our Savior.
Luke chapter 5, verse 36 to 39. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, the old is good. This is the gospel of Christ. Please be seated.
Good morning. Father, we pray that as we come before you today, you meet with us. You meet with us right where we are. And help us, Lord, as we encounter you, to see the things that you have for us as a church. We pray today that you meet with us in our hearts as we continue to grasp your love for us. Help us with quickened hands and feet to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years back, some almost 20 odd years back, when I was a young adult, I wanted to cook for the family, and the menu, chicken rice. I thought, how wrong can you get with chicken rice? All you need is, and yes, chicken and rice. You get chicken rice. So I started with the chicken. I boiled the chicken. No, not boiled. Poached the chicken. I put the chicken in a large pot, added some salt, and when it's done, I use a nice ice bath. Soak the chicken in, stop the cooking, and then create the jelly. Very good. I tried the chicken, really very good, you know. Can fight with the jumbo chicken rice one. So the chicken is settled. And then the rice. I wash the rice, put the rice into the cooker, mix in the most important ingredient, the secret prima Hainanese chicken rice premix into the rice cooker together with the rice. Stir it all in. I waited. And then, when it's supposed to be done cooking, I opened the rice cooker, and lo and behold, I got a shock. Why? Flooded. I saw water. Where's the rice? I saw water. There are so much water in the rice cooker. If I stir it all in, I can make porridge, you know. Wet and mushy. Spoiled. What to do? Too much water, I cannot rewind time to put less water. Too much water in the rice. If at that time, 20 plus years back, there was an Uncle Roger, what will he say? Rice drowning. No hope. No hope. I think that must have been how the Israelites felt. There was so much promise at first. They had the God of Israel, Yahweh, on their side. Who can be against them? They had the real God, God of Israel, by their side. Who can challenge them? But when the cooker is open, the realization hits them, there is no hope. Jalat, terrible. In our passage today in Isaiah 43, the Babylonians were Israel's enemy. They were violent. They were cruel. They have taken over Israel. And we know the history. Many of the people were taken into exile in Babylon. Tensions were high. And there was so much uncertainty, so much fear. Where is God? Has God abandoned his people? Where is hope? And in the familiar text, today's reading, familiar very much to SJSM, hanging on the walls there, Isaiah text, God, through Isaiah, assured the people that he will deliver them. He assures them that there is hope. We read in verse 14, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King." So the enemy, the Babylonians, were known for their strong navy. They have many big, strong ships in the Euphrates River. But here God says he will cause them to flee in the same ships that they took pride in. So the idea is this, that God will deliver Israel. But interestingly, while the Lord will deliver them, it will be in a new way, different from before, different from all that they have experienced before. How did God deliver Israel before? In the next verse, 16 and 17, we read, "This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." What does this describe for us? Exodus, right? The Exodus account? It describes how God saved Israel through the Red Sea. When Moses placed his staff in the waters parted and the Israelites walked through a wall of water on the left and right, they were saved. And then when the Egyptian army chased them with their chariots and horses and army, the waters suddenly came crashing down on them. The enemies perished. In the words of scripture, they laid there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. So verses 16 and 17, the Israelites were reminded of God's mighty power, amazing might. But the very interesting thing is, after reminding them, the Israelites, of God's amazing power, suddenly Isaiah tells them in verse 18, in the verse that we are all so familiar with, he tells them, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past." After the Lord reminded them of his mighty power and what God did in the Exodus event, suddenly Isaiah says, in the very next verse, no less, in 18, "Forget all of that." What is going on here? Why? Why recount the past and then tell them to forget the past? I believe the lesson and call today from Scripture is that while we need to remember the lessons of the past, we need to forget the methods of the past. Because after recounting how God saved the people in Exodus, I can imagine the people, they will get very riled up and excited over the prospect of deliverance. they will have expected that God would save them in the exact same way that He saved them from the Egyptians years ago. They will imagine, like in the Exodus, God will raise up a strong man, a strong deliverer like Moses of old. And this new Moses will lead them to defeat the Babylonians. Maybe this deliverer will use the Euphrates River now to flood and destroy the enemies. So these were probably the expectations of the Israelites, because as humans, we like everything to be predictable. But God is not predictable like the others. He's not an idol. He's the creator, meaning He likes to create new things. He loves to do new things in new ways. So I say to SJSM, on this first Sunday of the new year, be prepared for the new ways, new methods that the Lord has for us, how He leads the church forward. And in the spirit of the text, place not your hope in individuals or pastors, because pastors will come and go, but the enduring mission of the church and her people must continue on, and you must take this mission forward. God continues in verse 19, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I want us to see here that God works in radically different ways. Last time with Moses at the Exodus, when they faced the Red Sea, God made dry land through water. Correct? God made dry land through water. But now, you see the text, God will make comprehension. God will make water through dry land. Do you see the opposite contrast in methods? But it is the same God with the same heart to love and protect. Same God. Just a method that we are perhaps not so familiar with. I started this sermon with the cooking of the chicken rice. You know what happened when I realized the rice was mushy? Make porridge? No, I'm more sophisticated. An idea struck, inspired by the many trips to Malacca. I took the mushy rice in my hand, lump it together, squeeze out all the water, and created a new thing. Chicken rice balls. Naturally salted with the handiwork. Mushy, soggy rice turned into delicious Malaccan chicken rice balls. By the way, this is not the picture. This is from the internet. It doesn't look so nice. But the what I made was approved by my late grandmother. And she said, "Very nice, very tasty, but just a bit moist." But we ate all happily that day. For it to work, church, you must be willing to try something new. Otherwise, one look and you say, "It's wrong, chicken rice don't look like that. It cannot be like that. You know how it looks like. You say, it shouldn't be like that. I've been here, done that." Your experience, your maturity, your years tells you it shouldn't be like that. John Oswald said, "The great danger of maturation is calcification. We know what we want. We think we know how to get it, that we have figured it all out." That's why I say to us, the call today is to forget the former things and not dwell on the past. For it is said that the past is an excellent place to learn from, but a terrible place to live in. Our goal, our enduring vision from before and now even is the same, but the methods are different. For God loves to surprise us. Are we ready? Can we perceive it? Can you remember the lessons of the past but forget the methods of the past? Can you choose to not feed on past victories nor be weighed down by history? The call is to dare to believe God for something new when we let go of our own presuppositions. Let the Lord stretch your vision so that even Even as Caleb, he was 85 years old. 85. He can say, give me this hill country to conquer in Joshua 14:12. So it is my prayer that as the calendar turns to this fresh start in 2025, we will look ahead as a church with a heart of anticipation. And as a church, I pray that you can see this new wineskin, this new thing that the Lord has for us. What is new is not so much the mission of the church, but the way the church gets there. Because the constant thing in SJSM is our enduring... The constant thing in SJSM is our enduring... Wow, so clever. And that is, together, to be a witnessing community of praying and caring worshippers who base our lives on Scripture and move in the power of the Holy Spirit to reach a world in need of Christ. So, I asked that question after coming here about 2 years back. What does it mean? What does this mean for us as a church? What do we see when our mission is fulfilled? So for the whole of 2023, at the different leaders' convention and the leaders' gathering, we fleshed this out in four key areas: in seeking, caring, serving, and witnessing. And in seeking God, together, we see a church. Let's read this together loudly with conviction. Together, we see a church hungry for God. We see strong preaching and vibrant spirit-filled services. We see people who base their lives on Scripture and prayer, yielded to the Holy Spirit, and living a life of fruitfulness. In caring, together, we see a church as a family that cares, a community that is authentic. We see every generation having a place. We see people growing people into spiritual maturity. We see healthy cell groups that are multiplying. In serving, we see everyone involved. We see people stepping forward, serving joyfully and generously with their time, talent, and treasure. We see people operating in the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. We see people serving with excellence to the glory of God. And in witnessing, together, we see a witnessing community. We see a church without walls offering radical hospitality. We see a church embracing people from all walks of life. We see a church equipped and ready to share the gospel to a world in need of Christ. And the church we see is SJSM. So the vision ahead is laid out for us. How do we get there? What is our strategy for reaching these goals? What is our discipleship process? Very simply, it's the same seeking, caring, serving, and witnessing process. It's taking people from left to right. And I've shared this before. In every person, we aim to reach the heart, the hands, and the mind. The process begins when we say discipleship process. So we always use a newcomer to the church. We say the process begins with seeking God. So when a newcomer first comes to the church, we say to the person, worship first. Come and attend the service first. Be a regular. We teach and show the person the beauty, the joy of quiet time. We invite him to go for Alpha, to come for baptism, confirmation. We help the person to seek God. And there is priority in the worship of God. So seeking God, as we talk about seeking God, the primary area that we will look at, church, is our services here. And for the past 2 years, we have been working on pursuing stronger services. What does that mean? So more than just the impartation of knowledge and wisdom, we pray that in each worship service, as we worship, exalt the Lord will speak and minister. So there's that intentional space for that encounter with the Lord. And that's why we continually adjust what we do in the services to reach that goal. For example, we change this service timing to make it more hospitable at 10:45. So after this, people can have lunch, makan. And along with that, we tried to keep the services shorter. I don't know if you realize it. But we tried to keep the services shorter. I wish I had many complaint letters, but no. In a sense, I find 1.5 to 1 hour 40 minutes to be the sweet spot, particularly after the pandemic. We have also prayerfully strengthened this pulpit ministry. So not only church pastoral staff here, but we have strong lay preachers coming alongside. Our music ministry led by Sister Ming Lee also strengthened, and with our strong host team, people feel more at home. And in this new year, we will see a lot more intergen services taking place, particularly in our Saturday service. Our Heartbeat youths will join instead of quarterly. Every month, they will join together at the Saturday service. And when there's these combined services, there's that buzz and synergy. Yesterday itself, it was a sight to behold where the whole church was packed. You come in later, you have to sit by the side there. They were trying to squeeze away at our Saturday services. Beautiful sight to see the young people standing forward here, leading the church also in worship. So there is that tighter integration, and for that, we are thankful. From this year on, we will also tweak the way we have Holy Communion. We will bring back, church, the practice, the good old Anglican practice of self-intinction. Yay! Yay! Meaning the server will not dip the wafer for you into the wine and put the wet wafer into your palms. No more. Now the wafer will be given, but on your part, I thought it's beautiful theologically. His grace we receive and we act on it as well. Yeah, we dip it ourselves into the chalice, into the wine as we consume it. So we will begin that starting from today. Excited? Yay! Excited for Holy Communion, amen. Next comes caring. In this phase, the newcomer, after worshipping, settling down, knowing how to seek God, the next phase is that of belonging, where we pray that the person have a community that they feel belong to. So there is that togetherness, koinonia, where we share lives together, one with another. And we can only do that when we feel belonged to in this place. Because the church is not a school that you go to just to receive knowledge, but a community that we build up together. So in caring, when we think of caring, if seeking is services, caring, I invite us to think of cell groups. And I'm thankful to our zone structure, for the zone pastors who are both full-time staff as well as lay zone pastors who serve faithfully. So going forward, there can be zone pastors who are appointed from the pastoral staff team, and there can also be lay zone pastors who come out organically from our system. For example, last year, when Abel and Joni's cell multiplied into 3 different cell groups, they prayerfully took on the role as cell pastors in caring for the new cell leaders. Then their cell pastor, Jerry and Paige, they took on the role as zone pastors. So this prayerfully will encourage the organic growth from within. So the idea is the cell leader becomes the cell pastor, and the cell pastor grows into the role to be zone pastor. So what is our current structure? I'm thankful that we have now increased our zones to 10 zones. And the zone pastors who are lay staff include Pastor George, Kim Teng, Pastor Kim Teng, Pastor Jerry as well. And we are thankful for our cell pastors who faithfully serve over the years. We have Sam Lim, Kelvin, Suan Jong, Kay Bin, Stanley, Steve, Ki Hua, and Ha Pao. And we also welcome our new cell pastors, Chi Ming, Casey, Larry, Adeline and Ronald, Abel and Joni. So the whole idea, as we talk about caring, is a sense of belonging. And the more tentacles we have into the community, the more beautiful that care goes, you see. Caring for each other. The third stage in the process is serving. And this is where the person says, okay, now I'm part of the church. I cannot just wait to be served, but I want to play an active part. I want to be involved. I cannot just be a spectator. I want to participate. And so the process of serving begins. I want you to see the progression: seeking, caring, and then serving. So if someone very excitedly says, can I start serving? I say, yes, but let's go back to the process again. Seeking, caring, are you planted in? And then serving. So too for leadership in that sense. So when we think of serving, last time our horizon is church. But now I invite us to broaden that horizon because we have a village. So when we think of serving, we think of village. When you think serving, you think village. At the church camp last year with Pastor Andrew Gardner, with his sharing on Exodus, I thought that was significant because we are moving out from being a single church, a parish, to a village. What we have now is a village. And just as a side, we are thankful that this year in June, we will have a church conference here in SGSM Village itself. And we are thankful to invite back Pastor Andrew Gardner as our speaker, as he will share with us a little bit more on certain key areas. So we will have a church conference this year in June. So we no longer think of serving as church alone, but we think of it as the village. And this is the new wineskin, the new thing. And you heard over the years throughout PSW, this new thing that is not changed. It's the village that the Lord has placed on our plates. When we think serving, we think village. Next is witnessing. SGSM's mandate has always been to be a light to the nations, and that mission's mandate has and will never diminish. On the local front, we continue with Alpha, and you will hear in time to come of the John 1-2-3 initiative, where we, John 1-23, where we pray, reach, and share the gospel with a friend or a loved one. In our overseas missions, we have three primary stations: Laos, Thailand, specifically Korat, and Timor-Leste. Both Thailand and Laos are all along part of the deanery of Singapore, the official Anglican work. But Timor-Leste is always seen as SGSM's own work. But from November last year, Timor became part of the Diocese of Singapore, which is significant for us. Significant because it means an increased mandate for the church. Previously, we were just focused on one area, Manatutu. But now the whole mandate, the mandate is increased that we need to build up the whole nation of Timor-Leste as a whole in terms of planting churches and dioceses to the whole island itself. Church, I pray that we can see that this is our discipleship process. And we want to continue drilling deeper into this process as the Lord leads us. Last year, the Lord led us to pursue radical hospitality as we declared it as the year of the Lord's welcome. And I want to say, as a church, we did quite well. We did very well. The first thing that we did was we opened up the community hall and the usage of space in the village. That was the first thing that we did. You suddenly come to church and you realize the doors for the comm hall are always open. Pastor Joseph Chien, when he passed on, and SGSM hosted the funeral, the wake services, we saw it together as hospitality to the Christian community. Dover celebrates Christmas was hospitality to the Dover community, and SGSM, you embraced it wonderfully and beautifully. And after the DCC, the Dover Celebrates Christmas, they wrote in and they said, can we have our National Day celebration, Dover's National Day celebration here? And we said, yes, of course. So Dover celebrated National Day here at SJSM itself. Our Mandarin congregation had the Mid-Autumn celebration on a bigger scale involving our Kopi Stop and Dover residents, and many brought parents to come alongside there. Our zones and children's ministry organized community children's birthday parties for different ones spread out across the year. And so many joined in and came along. Antioch 21 held its national missions conference here, and the largest contingent was from SJSM. SJSM also hosted the St. Peter's Hall conference, where all the parish staff across the 27 parishes gathered here for 3 days. Today, when you come to SJSM village on a weekday, you will notice a very visible, audible buzz. There's a faithful servers at the tea terrace. There is busking going on, buskers, at certain days. There's dancing, singing. There's little dogs walking around. There is an active connection with the residents at the next of kin here in the village. After SES service itself, on Saturday, there's a faithful group who will provide drinks and refreshments. And our hospitality team also organized the IG table tennis tournament for 2 years running. Our cell groups also played a very major part. There was a cell that organized a lunch each month to offer hospitality to different groups of people. So every month, they will host different groups of people for lunch. Another cell group organized craft-making sessions for a group of seniors. And after a few sessions, the instructor, the mother of one of our members, started to attend Alpha and came to know the Lord. Cell groups made arrangements to fetch and ferry people who have needs to come and worship at the services, to come and attend cell groups. Cell groups organized informal tuition sessions. There was a cell group that organize finding work for members. So they got together and they started to help each other that way. Another cell was bringing food on a daily basis to members who are unable to cook for themselves. So from the bottom of my heart, SJSM, thank you for exercising radical hospitality. Thank you for a beautiful year of the Lord's welcome. And truly a big thank you to the staff team, the ministry leaders, the cell pastors, the leaders, and all of us for leading this church. And I must say, as we come into this new year, as I share about the theme for the new year, does radical hospitality stop? Cannot stop, huh? We don't stop. We don't say, last year was the year of the Lord's welcome, so this year is not anymore. It doesn't work that way. But we grow in as a church, we grow to become more and more like His people. So what is next for 2025? What is our next step? It is to go deeper, really to go deeper in what we are doing already. So as we talk about 2025, radical hospitality must still continue, but we'll drill in to explore how we can grow to become His people, living it out here in the village. So in 2025, we pray to becoming His people, His village. We pray to grow as we become more and more like His disciples. And the prayer is that we grow deeper and engage in that discipleship process. Last year, we covered Luke X as we talked about radical hospitality, God's hospitality to us, and our acts of hospitality to others. This year, we will run through the books of Exodus and Joshua as a sermon series. We'll explore how the Israelites were brought out, not only saved, but they grew to become His people. Through the journey, even that journey in the wilderness, each step of the way, Israel became God's people, you see. So the theme that we have laid out is becoming His people, His village. We'll delve deeper into that whole, this whole discipleship process. And my prayer is that we will learn that a disciple is one who seeks God, cares for each other, serves faithfully, and be witnesses for Jesus. We will run through this discipleship process, engage with our hearts, hands, and mind as we grow together as a church to become His disciples. The effect of all of this, I pray, will be in verse 20. And here is the result. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So when God makes a way in the desert itself is transformed. The jackal and the owl, they are considered unclean wild animals, unclean, living in the desert, forgotten. They live in very uninhabitable land. But now, they honor God. The animals honor God. They worship Him. Because the dry desert has become a place of water, an oasis teeming with life. So like the desert that is transformed, SJSM will be so visible as a spring of life that will provide water and stream in the desert land. I pray that on this first Sunday in 2025, we realize first that God works in ways that often surprises us, that we cannot lock God in the same mold. How He worked yesterday will be very different from how He works today. But the mission doesn't change. He's the same God who loves, cares, creates. The Lord is doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Do you not know? Are you a part of it? Are you willing to become His people, His village? Father, we pray this day that You help us. We pray that You help us to look to You as our leader, chief shepherd. So we come under Your lordship as You shape, form, and mold us to be Your people in Your village. Father, I pray that You show us what this whole discipleship process means, how we can grow deeper and more in Your likeness, to seek, care, serve, witness for Your glory. So give us that oneness, that we may be one voice proclaiming Your praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stand together as we respond together.